everyone. You'll notice that this episode and the next one are slightly different than a normal one. With everyone being busy over the holidays, we decide to split up the next little bit of our adventure. And Caleb took us each individually on a little mini adventure with the instruction that we were not to talk to each other about what we did or found during that time. And then we all got back together again to play, and we could share our stories of what happened. It was very, very simple, low stakes, but it was a lot of fun.
So when we last left our intrepid heroes, they had just finished defeating the statues that had come to life when you had released the old man from his magical prison. And as you're standing there, the old man runs his fingers through his white hair. And, oh, I don't know if I can ever truly repay you for what you have done for me, but I hope you can take this as a small... You could accept this as a sign of my personal gratitude. As he reaches inside of his robe, he pulls out these five little sacks that, as he is holding them in his hand, you can hear there's almost the clinking of coins muffled through leather. As he reaches out to you, he offers you one of the bags. Will you please accept this?
Can you open up the bags and show me what's inside first?
As he kind of fiddles with his fingers in one hand, he kind of slides it open. It's full of gold pieces, but the gold pieces have this, like, metallic blue tinge to them.
Metallic blue tinge, gold pieces. Do I say it because I'm a wizard there? Can I sense magic, Renee?
No, you don't sense any magic coming from them, and you also, like, as you take a closer look, you don't recognize the minting. Like, the imagery that's on the coin is... foreign to you. However, you guys did work out that this guy had been down here for at least a couple hundred years, so him not having current currency on him isn't completely out of the question.
Okay, I don't sense anything evil, nothing like that. It seems all legit. I'm gonna take it then.
As he goes along the line, he gives each party member their little bag, and he steps away and goes, now, I believe I promised you a reward as well as my gratitude. As he claps his hands together and starts rubbing them together, and these white sparks start sparking off of them, and then he pulls his hands apart and creates a 6 foot tall, 3 foot wide rip in reality that, as you peer through the this rectangular opening, you see into what looks like a small city or town full of buildings that don't look like they should go together. Like, there are different construction styles, almost different eras of design, different materials. And as you're looking around this scene, you also see that there are what appear to be people, but they all have this bluish tinge to them. And you notice you can kind of see through a couple of the ones that are closer to you. But what really catches your eye is that the street itself is... lined with gold and coins that are glistening in the torchlights. Do you go through the portal as the old man wanders through?
Yes.
As you get through and you set your feet down, the street underneath you kind of clinks with the, as your feet hit the coins, you're stepping out on them. And he says, it is welcome to my humble abode, the city of Palamahara. You are welcome to wander around. There are many things to see and do here. I will leave this portal door open for 2 hours, and then you must go through it before it closes. As he kind of looks around and then goes, over that way you'll find the library, and over there there's the Colosseum, and there's the town square. You can always see something interesting going on down there. He smiles and says, what are you looking for? What excites you?
Magic.
Magic. Magic. There is a wise shaman I know who lives just outside of town in a small grove. Perhaps he could teach you some of his magic. At least he dabbles in magic.
Okay. Let's check this dude out.
He, as you turn to start walking, he goes, is that a velvet cover on your spell book? May I see it?
Okay.
He just kind of takes your spell book from you, and he just kind of strokes the front of it twice. Oh, that is so nice. Thank you. It has been a long time since I've had such pleasures. He hands you back the book. And you head your... So you start heading out towards where he pointed, towards where this shaman was. So it takes you towards the edge of the city, and you eventually get to a point, like, as you step out beyond the buildings, eventually the coins kind of stop, and they get thinner and thinner, and then stop, and you're just standing on this grayish dirt, like, hard pack. And the sky above you is just, there's no sun, no moon, no stars, it's just a black night, but it's not dark. Like, you can see for a really long distance, but there's no visible light source. What you do see is three massive trees that have grown up a couple hundred feet outside of the city. You move your way out that way. As you approach these trees, each one of them, as you get closer, is probably 20 feet across. Huge. But otherwise, there's not a lot growing out here. As you move into the inside of the trees, you're looking around. I'd like you to make me a perception check.
Okay. I ended up with this. Am I so for hit points and everything and spell slots, am I full or am I...
Nope, you are still where you were from last session.
Wasn't I at like zero?
I think they got you. They got you back up, so you had to have had at least one.
The hell, where's that paper? I don't have. Okay, so maybe I just didn't write it down. So I would be at what?
You'd have at least one hit point.
Let's go with that. And my spell slots would stay at zero.
Whatever you had left. So yeah, if you've got nothing left, all you've got are cantrips. And what was your perception check?
Okay, I rolled a 10, and I have a plus 1, 11.
As you walk past one of the trees, you suddenly hear this growly voice. Who comes here?
It is I, Nilru.
You turn to where the voice was, and you kind of squint your eyes, and then all of a sudden the bark of the tree moves, and this, there is a almost tree-like, it's a combination of the white bark of the tree, but also this translucence to this being. It is made out of tree bark, but it is also ethereal in nature. It just blends in with the white bark of the tree really, really well. kind of like bounds towards you. Its movements are very strange, but it's got like an extra bend in the knee that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to you. But it comes over and gets close, and you see these like green glowy eyes as it looks closer at you. I am tree, and you are meat. That is why we are different.
Agreed.
It has been a long time since a meat one has come here. You are alive.
You seem very alive yourself.
It holds up one of its branchy arms that you can kind of see through. In a sense.
You look alive to me. You're talking, moving.
It turns its featureless face towards you. It's just like tree bark with these eyes. And so what brings you out here?
About magic as I can, trying to develop into a really good, well-rounded wizard.
Mastering many skills, wise. You are wise for one who still breathes air. Come, sit. As it sits and kind of like folds itself into kind of a cross-legged position. Accordion-like legs. As you sit down across from it, it kind of touches the soil. And where its finger drags, you see little like flowers and moss start kind of poking itself up. I sense your magic is full of destruction. But do you know of the ways of creation?
No, but I'd like to.
It reaches out and it places its hand over top of yours and positions it over the dirt, and it's just, you try. I'd like you to make me an arcana check.
Okay. Damn it, why can't I roll ever? I have a +6, that's huge, so but I only rolled a 9, 15.
You feel this pulsing energy in your finger. You're not sure whether you're connecting to something or just feeling the being with its hand on yours. But you kind of try and push that out, and you push and you push and you push, and a single blade of grass pokes its head up.
Nice.
You have potential, my friend.
Thank you.
We will practice. He sits there, and you can choose to engage in this, but it's going to burn up a good chunk. Alright, so he teaches you the act of growth, and I'll send you the wording for it later, but you learn how to channel the power of creation so that once per day when you cast this, anywhere that your footsteps leave, plants and flowers and life will spring up from where you walk. And as you're about to leave, the being kind of stops you and says,
I have a favor to ask.
Please do.
He reaches he reaches out and pulls back a rock, and he pulls out these three rounded, kind of strange-looking seeds.
It has been long since my roots have tasted fresh sunlight and water. When you are on your journeys, if you find a good place that you wish that is a good place to spend a night, in your opinion, plant one of these and give it some water.
Bet.
And it hands you the three seeds.
Thank you. It kind of bows its head to you a little bit. May the act of creation allow you to grow new beginnings.
Thank you, Matt. I will do this.
You find yourself meandering back into the town, and the seeds are like 2 inches across each. Like, there's these weird-looking bulbs. You're not even quite sure which way is up on them, but plant them and add water. Seems pretty simple.
If it does, I'm going to do this at some point.
Roll me perception.
And my rolls. I rolled a 10, but I think I have a plus 1 here. Yeah, so 11.
As you move back into the city, the crunch of money under your feet is loud. You pass by this one large building that, as you take a look at it, you see it's labeled as the public library.
Ooh, I like the sound of this. Let's check it out.
All right, you head on up the stairs past the large pillars out front, and you enter into the library, and you can see from the front door there's a librarian sitting at the desk. She is blue and incorporeal. She's sitting there with her hair back in a ponytail. As you come on in, she turns and smiles.
Oh, it's so good to have someone here to visit us in the library. It's such a lovely day with the ocean breeze blowing in. So what can I help you with, young man?
Well, I guess I'm trying to become a well-rounded wizard, and it's hard to do that without some sort of healing and or protection spells. So I guess I'm trying to look for books that might help me learn about that kind of stuff.
Let me take you to our spell section. Did you know that we have one of Wayland's early spell books in our collection?
Oh, I do not. Who is this Wayland fellow you mentioned?
Wayland is the old guy.
Oh, well, I would love to see that, please.
It would be my pleasure to show it to you.
She takes you into the through a bunch of shelves and to this door that she opens. She pulls out a key and unlocks the door that opens up a cabinet. As she reaches in, she pulls out a wooden box that she then pulls out and sets down, kind of dusts off the top, and removes the cover to this blue velvet-bound spell book with brass hinges and this ornate lock clasp. It doesn't have a lock on it right now. She says, "Take a seat, but please do be gentle. I will come
back. Absolutely.
I must return to my post. It would be so nice if I could get out and see the ocean today. Are the waves choppy?"
They can be, yeah.
Perhaps I will not go sailing tonight. And she kind of drifts off back towards the front.
You begin to open up the spell book. I would like you to make me an intelligence save.
Intelligence save?
Yeah.
I don't have anything for saving throws, eh? That was my other character. So, shit, I have a +4 out of 7. Gives me 11.
As you open up the spell book, you suddenly feel this insane, like, energy shifting pull. As you are unattuned from your old spellbook, and this becomes your spellbook by force. And your brain is immediately flooded with just a silly amount of spells that fill your head, and you're just like, you're grabbing at your head going, oh god, what's happening? And then it kind of stops, and you're sitting there, kind of look around. Nobody seems to be there. Like, nobody noticed this episode. And as you're leafing through it, there are, like, tons of spells. So as you leaf through the spell book, it's got, like, spells that you're looking at going, I don't even know what this does. It's so ridiculously high level. And as you get towards the back of the book, there's a bunch of blank pages as well.
Copy my spellbook into those blank pages, I guess.
That is an option. There's like 40 blank pages on the end.
So, this spellbook is now mine by force, which means I no longer, because you can only have one spellbook, right?
Yeah. I mean, you can have more than one spellbook. You are allowed to have multiples. It's actually a good idea to have a secondary one, because what if you lose your first one?
Okay, so I won't copy it yet. I'm going to hold on to both of them.
Put one in a safe place for safekeeping, and then if something ever happens to your main spellbook, you at least have a secondary one.
And then next time I have a long rest, I can copy all the spells into both books and make them both replicas of each other?
Yes, we'll get into that, because spells, I believe, is 1 hour of time plus 50 gold per spell level to copy a spell from one source to another.
Yeah, 50 gold in 2 hours, it says here.
Oh, yeah, 2 hours. So, like, a third...
That's for each level.
Yeah, so, like, a third level spell would be 6 hours of downtime and 150 gold in, like, papers and fancy inks and shit.
So this could be just a project I do over time.
Oh, yeah, it totally could be.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep them both.
Hell, you could make it a long-term project to just make it, like, 100 spell books and then sell them.
Because I'm not familiar with his spellbook, I'm going to put that one in a safe place and hold on to mine until I can really investigate the spellbook, just in case I run into something and I need to...
Alrighty. So as you're going to try and just wander on out with the spellbook?
Oh, I am not. No. It became mine as force, though. Forcefully mine. So what does that mean?
It means that you suddenly, like... learned a bunch of spells, and like, if you want to prepare spells out of this book, you're going to need to keep the book with you.
So I need to figure out a way how to get this book out of there.
You are presently not being watched.
Right. Okay. I am going to use prestidigitation and make a copy of that book.
Okay.
Then I'm going to put it away and pretend I'm putting this thing away. Make sure the lady sees me putting it away. But before I do that, I'm going to be hiding that other book while I'm not being watched into my whatever safe concealed place I can do.
That is fantastic. As you put the fake copy into the box and you make sure to put the box away and she locks it back up. I'm glad that you were able to learn something from our humble collection.
Well, I appreciate you letting me read that book. I took care of it just as you asked.
A true scholar knows how to take care of things. Be careful on those waves today. It is a bit choppy out there.
Cowabunga.
As you're on your way out, of the library, you hear a loud clink, and then you hear, "What was that noise?"
I just dropped my coin purse, sorry, ma'am. And I pretend to go pick up a coin purse that's not there.
Oh, well, if that's all it was, I guess I can return to my seat. There's nothing amiss.
Sorry to disturb you, ma'am.
Have a great day.
You as well.
You head yourself back out down into the streets. you recognize you've probably only got about 15-20 minutes before that portal door is going to start closing.
Okay, I need to go for, I don't know, how much does a healing potion cost? I only have 62 gold, so I don't know how much they cost in the game. But I'd like to go shop around and find a healing potion or two if I can. I don't know if I can afford it or not.
I would just, from your character's point of view, you have 20 minutes till the only known way out of this place closes.
And that's pretty far. Okay, so I'm going to continue my journey onwards towards the portal.
Awesome. As you're walking through the streets, I'd like you to roll me a perception check.
Six.
You notice that you are walking on literal money.
That's pretty slick. I'm gonna just drag my hand a little bit, making sure no one sees me. When I got good moments, try and grab some of that money.
Nobody seems to care. Like, people see you doing this, nobody cares.
I'm gonna grab as much money as I can on my way to that portal and spend the last 20 minutes gathering as much money as I can before.
What's your strength score?
Strength is not good. I have a 6.
Okay. So, factoring out gear that you already have, let's just give that a times 10. What did you pick up while you were here? A spell book and a handful of seeds. You didn't pick up anything heavy. So, that'll allot you about 50-60 pounds in coins.
Nice. Roll me a
D100. We will do some math on that later, but that's going to come in handy. As you wander back towards the portal, you see that Jess has already arrived waiting for you. K2 comes around the corner, and N comes flitting back through with a book also from the library.
Sorry, what was the name of the guy whose spellbook I got? What was his name?
Waylon. I'm going to send you an updated list of spells available to you, some of which you're going to have in that book that are just, you have them, but you are not able to cast them yet.
Fair enough.
I will get you that. And that is where we will cut off as the party is jumping back through the portal back into the room where you had defeated all of those statues.
So when we last left, our intrepid heroes, they had released an old man from a magical prison only to have these statues activate and try to murder them. And the first three died very quickly. And then the last one just continued to refuse to die because nobody could roll higher than a 2 on damage.
Yeah, and that was awesome.
As the last one fell to the ground, you are left standing there, the four of you, plus the stitched-together meat man, and then the old man in his brown robes, and he runs his fingers through his wiry white hair. Oh, thank you so much.
I can never truly repay you for what you have done, but I hope you will take this as a... you will accept this as my personal gratitude, as he reaches out to you. He reaches into his pocket and he pulls out these little leather sacks, and as he moves them around, you hear what sounds like clinking money. And he offers one to let's call it Jazan. And he reaches out, will you accept this as a personal thank you?
Of course.
He hands you the bag, which you are able to hold. I've worked out how strong you are. Your wings are pretty amazing.
Great.
You can carry a total of 80 pounds.
Hey, that's pretty damn good.
For a 6-inch fairy, that's fucking fantastic.
Yeah. Wait, I thought I was 8 inches. We're not going to
worry. 8 inches. Okay, sorry.
Because I was, so, longer, know, like I was taller than the average dick, but, you know, there are still dicks bigger than me.
Oh, God. Now I'm imagining in a fantasy world at a carnival is, to win the game, your dick has to weigh more than this pixie, but it's like the fattest pixie they could get their hands on. And then when you fail, everybody makes fun of you because your dick weighs less than a pixie.
That's awesome.
Meanwhile, you've got a pixie who spends 12 hours a day stuffing his face full of sugar rolls.
Yep.
Well, there's our first thing that we'll need to edit.
Yeah. Oh well. Worth it.
And as he moves down the line, he hands one of these little bags to everybody. He turns and says, "Now, I believe I promised you a reward." As he claps his hands together and starts rubbing them back and forth, and you see these like white sparks start to appear. As he pulls his hands open and a rectangular tear in reality appears before you, and you peer through this doorway into what looks like a street, but the buildings are so mismatched they almost look like they were from different places and just kind of grabbed and all stuck together in this city. And there are these blue silhouetted figures that are moving around, from going from door to door, doing various things. But that's not what catches your eye the most. What catches your eye is the fact that the street is littered with coins. Gold, silver, platinums.
Wow.
And the old man kind of steps in, as he's stepping in, he goes, "Oh, watch your step, it's not quite all the way to the floor."
I peer very cautiously before following him in.
As you follow him in, and you hear when he takes a step, the crunch of the coins under his sandaled feet. He turns and goes, "Welcome to my city of Palamahara. I unfortunately have much business that requires attending to, but this door," he points to the gateway behind you, "will remain open for 2 hours. Anything that you can find and carry home with you is yours. My personal thanks."
And Nyssa is just bewildered, and she looks around and she goes, "Well, thank you. That's very generous."
You know, he gets a half smirk on his face. He goes, "Well, I haven't exactly been able to spend my funds lately, so I don't think I'll miss it too terribly."
"Well, I hope you get to do lots of spending now."
"Oh, there are many things I will do, little one. I bid you adieu. Thank you." Kind of bow, gives a little bit of a bow and a flourish. And as he's walking away, "Library's that way, town square's over there. There's a Colosseum that way. He wanders off, and you hear him kind of just shouting out different locations as he's walking, kind of pointing off in the distance. So you gather that in one direction there is a library. He mentioned a town square. Oh, God, please tell me you're recording.
Yep.
Thank God, because I wasn't.
Nissa is a party person. I think she would head for the town square.
Right.
As you flit through the street, you get to take a much better look at both the buildings and the people. People is a loose term, as everybody here is kind of incorporeal and has a blue sheen to them. But is most of them are quite well dressed in their finery, but the clothing styles and the appearance and background of the people you're looking at look like a thousand cities crammed into one.
Oh wow!
And as you're moving through, you get into the town square. At one point, you catch a glimpse of Jess darting from one store to the next. Roll me perception.
12.
Alrighty. And you are flying, right?
Yep.
As you look across the crowd, you see this stick, like a group of people cluster around this. Somebody's holding a stick up in the air, and there's a rope on the end dangling down. You can't quite see what it's dangling to, but every now and again he like jerks the stick up, and the crowd goes, oh! You also see that there are several different shops around. Seamstress, there is a very interesting, there is a blacksmith that you also notice, as well as a myriad of other shops that you'd have to get a little bit more acquainted with.
I want to check out the stick guy.
Alrighty.
I like tricks.
You flit on over to see what these people are all watching. As you see, there's a ring of people around this person with a stick, and as you fly up overhead to take a peek, you see on the end of the stick is a ham leg that is dangling down, and as you continue to look further down, you hear this clinking of metal, and there's this small, a large kitten about the size of a grown house cat that is six-legged, and just looking at the muscles on this little guy, he could win a boxing match with you. You're pretty sure.
Nice.
And he has these weird lumps on his top shoulder blade, but as the guy with the stick will lower the stick so that it's almost in its reach, and it jumps up, and he pulls the stick away, and the chain collar on the that attaches it to the ground stops it from being able to get to the meat.
Oh, Nissa is livid. She's gonna fly right into the face of the guy with the stick and be like, "How dare you! How dare you torment the kitten!"
As he kind of like is taken aback and he adjusts himself. Whoa there, little lady. I didn't see you there. Name's Michael. Now, what is it that I have so offended you to have done?
You're tormenting an animal. You're teasing it with food and then yanking it out of its way.
Well, it's all in a little bit of fun now, ain't it?
Well, not in that kitten's fun.
He kind of smirks and He reaches up and kind of twirls his mustache. And, what it might be worth to you, little lady?
Well, the kind gentleman that brought me here said that anything I see and can carry, I can take with me when I leave. So I'm going to take the kitten.
He looks at you and goes, if you can pick up that there little one, I'll find it interesting, but I seem to have forgotten my keys.
God damn it. I'm not proficient in anything that can help me pick a lock on that kitten's chain.
You got in the way of magic.
Yeah, I'm looking. Druidcraft is harmless. Magic stone is probably gonna... or could hurt the kitten. I suppose I could always throw a stone where the chain connects to the ground and then... Oh, I have to go into my prepared... Damn it. Yeah. Oh! For the purposes of charm person, can I charm this person? Is this a person that I can attempt to charm?
Sure, I'll let you give that a try.
Alright, you need to make a wisdom saving throw. And if me challenging it counts as fighting it, then you get advantage.
6.
Yay!
You had a +1.
Okay, so you can't attack or target me. And... I get advantage on any ability check to interact socially with the creature. So I settle down a little bit in his face, and I give him a nice smile, and I go, oh, but we're such good friends. Can I just take this kitten for a walk? That thing is really cool. Did you see how many legs it has?
Roll me persuasion.
Yes! I've got a -1 in persuasion. That's still 17.
That is higher than he got to see that this was a bad idea. And he says, well, he could use a little bit of a wander, but he looks at you, looks at the chain, looks at you, and goes, I reckon this here wouldn't be, that here chain wouldn't be very useful to you now, would it, little lady? Why don't you just hop on top? I'll unhook him. You can take him for a ride.
That sounds like so much fun.
So he moves in towards the cat, and he kind of has to like fight with it a little bit, and you can see he's straining to get his hand in to get towards the collar. Unclip piece, and he's holding it by the collaring. All right, little lady, hop on, hang on tight. I'm gonna go grab me a bevy. Be back in about half an hour.
At this point, I would like to cast another spell, speak with animals.
What does speak with animal do?
You gain the ability to comprehend and verbally communicate with beasts for the duration. The knowledge and awareness of many beasts is limited by their intelligence, but at minimum, beasts can give you information about nearby locations and monsters, including whatever they can perceive or have perceived within the past day. At the DM's discretion, you may persuade a beast to perform a small favor for you.
I would like you to roll me a... roll me nature at advantage.
Okay. Oh. Oh my god, I thought that was a 3, but it's a 13. I was about to be like, damn it. I get a +2, 15.
15. You recognize already that speaking with beasts will not help you with this creature. You, as you're getting a closer look at the nubs on his back as you're settling in, realize that those nubs don't stay nubs. That
wings.
The beast you're looking at is indeed a kitten. And those nubs are going to turn into tentacles. And this creature is going to be about the size of a panther.
Awesome! Probably not going to be friendly to me for much longer, but hey! Nissa is going to try and convey that she's helping this beast. And she grabs a piece of meat off the leg that had been teasing the kitten. And she offers it to the kitten. And she talks really softly and she keeps saying, I'm going to get you out of here. We're going to put on a little show for these guys and then we're going to be out of here and we're going to be done with this place.
You give it that chat as it is like devouring the meat and just tearing pieces off. And then once the meat is, or the bone is like picked clean, it gets up. Pow!
And
it's about the size of a lab.
Awesome. So Nissa reaches way up as high as she can because she's trying not to be flying and overbearing, so she's very low to the ground. And she reaches up and she attempts to pet its shoulder.
It allows you to touch it.
Yay. Okay, buddy. I'm going to climb on your back now. Not for long, but just to show off to these guys a little bit, okay? And we're going to head out of here. I'm pretty sure you can handle yourself once we're out of here. But I'm going to take you out of here anyway. And she goes to get on its back. Very lightly, though. She's definitely flying, not just, like, climbing like a mountain.
When you touch certain parts of the ear, it, like, twists its head back to try and get you to scratch at that spot again.
And I'll spend some time giving scratches. I was right. And
after you after scratching at the back of its ear and getting yourself in, the nubs actually make a good place to sit behind, and like you can hold on to the base of them and not be grabbing hair or anything.
Awesome.
And you start meandering with your six-legged cat, that as you sit on him, there is more muscles. It is almost uncomfortable if it wasn't for the fur, because of just the obscene muscles on this. You're like, what kind of, you recognize, like, oh god, this thing would kill a house cat and eat it.
Oh yeah. I can only hope that it doesn't see me as a meal.
But you guys, you and the cat kind of take off. You're moving through the rest of the town square. It seems to, like, want to leave the town square area.
Yeah, I'm intent on taking it right back to that portal and setting it free.
So you, I'd like you to roll me animal handling to herd a cat.
Hey, I'm awesome. That's 19.
So it takes you a while as Mr. Kitten is a very curious little creature, and it wanders up a few buildings, and you find yourself observing things from various different points of view around town before it eventually goes where you're trying to get it to go. You get up to the portal, and then it kind of stops and cocks its head.
We can go through if you'd like. It will bring you over into my world, but you wouldn't be stuck here.
tentatively, slowly moves up to the opening, kind of sticks its head through, looks around, kind of starts stepping out.
And I'll leave its back and then fly into the other room. Like, I'll go completely through the portal and I'll be like, see? It's okay in here.
So it follows out, row, and kind of looks around, sees the stitched together flesh guy.
Oh, he won't hurt you. I don't think so, anyway. And if he tries to, I know you could take him.
Kind of settles down, seeing that the fleshy guy is... He started making his way slowly back toward, or up towards the stairs. So you're now through with this large kitten. What would you like to do from here?
Oh, wow.
At this point, even with putting on a show and working your way back, you've only burned through about an hour.
Sweet. I will attempt to tell the kitten to stay here. And she says, you stay here. I'm going to go back and get some more food, because you're going to be hungry again. And I really don't want you to eat me. I don't know if I would taste very good.
All right. Okay. Sorry, I was just recollecting things.
Yep.
So, you leaving the Lord Fuzzington... You flit back through the portal into the city streets that are covered in gold.
I'm looking for a meat shop.
Meat shop. Roll me an intelligence save.
I rolled a 4, so that would be a 6.
You spend the next, like, 30 minutes tearing the place apart, looking for a place that sells corporeal meat, and find that you can't actually find any.
You said there was a library.
There was a library. Roll me investigation.
Slightly better. 14.
You notice that several of the ghosts tend to be drifting in, like, in a direction just outside of town.
Okay. I'll follow them.
So you start following them. Roll me stealth.
Oh, yeah. That is 21.
Alright. You flit along, leaving the well-illuminated streets and just moving out, and once you get outside of the town, the gold eventually on the streets just kind of trails off, and it's just left with this grayish dirt. The black sky, there's no sun, there's no moon, there's no stars. It's not dark, but there's no source of light.
Weird.
In the town itself, there are several torches that are lit, that the firelight gleaming off of the gold coins is a beautiful aesthetic. But you notice as you're moving, you see these the ghosts, they're floating, and then all of a sudden they start getting shorter and shorter and shorter, and then they disappear.
Weird.
As you move forward, you see that there is a dip almost like a perfect sphere was dropped into the ground halfway and then pulled out. And inside of it, you see the ghosts in groups suddenly standing there, and all of a sudden a blue swirling portal would open in front of them and they would step through. Then another one would open up and you'd see them coming back carrying corpses. Oh, and then taking these corpses to the center of, at the very bottom of the bowl, where they seem to be assembling them into some sort of structure.
Oh, that's not good.
Especially because you notice that the structure is slowly sinking as you sit there for a couple minutes watching.
What shape is this structure?
Cylindrical on the outside. Looks like there's several rooms. But when they're building the bottom of the door, or the bottom of the wall, it's solid and the door seems to be on the top of the room.
So they're building a literal house of corpses?
Yes.
Awesome. I mean, Nyss is freaked the fuck out, but...
So I assume leaving is in Nyss's plans?
Yes. She is neither big nor strong enough to take on this kind of disaster.
And Nyssa would also know that the guy who, as far as you know, is in charge of this disaster, seems to like you so far, so...
Let's not shit in his porridge.
Yeah. What's he doing? Who knows? None of my damn concern.
Yep. I don't know. Do I care? Kind of, but, I'm out.
I mean, you've also spent, like, the entire day getting beat up by gnolls. You are in no shape to go start a war right now.
Right.
So you find yourself moving back through the town.
Do I have a couple minutes to pop into the library?
Yeah, you've got a couple minutes to pop in.
Okay, I'm looking specifically for a book on six-legged cats. Nyss is hoping there's like a how to care for your creature book that she can find.
As you come in, you come up the stairs and past the large white pillars into the actual library. Sitting at the desk is this older woman with her hair back in a ponytail. Of that blue sheen on her as you can kind of see the bookshelves behind her. And she kind of smiles at you as you come in and go, "Oh, hello, dearie. The ocean breeze is lovely this morning, isn't it?"
"Oh, it's wonderful. Is this your library?"
"Oh, not my library. I just help keep things organized around here."
"Oh, that's so awesome. That's great. I'm looking for a pretty particular type of book."
"Oh, what are you looking for, little lady? We might be able to help you out with that."
"Any book that can give me information about six-legged cats with things that grow out of its back."
She kind of gets up, and the corporeal chair she's sitting on slides as she stands up.
Let's go this way."
She kind of floats herself gracefully along the ground.
"I believe we have a book that at least has a excerpt on such a strange creature. But why would you have that kind of creature here? I read they don't like salty seawater."
"Oh, I'm just curious. I saw a painting of one, and it's just piqued my attention. I just want to learn more."
"Be careful. Curiosity killed the cat."
Nyssa chuckles along. And in her head, she's going, okay, come on, hurry up, hurry up. I gotta get out of here.
She takes you into around and back and through some shelves, and she eventually gets to a spot, and she's looking on a shelf, and then she goes, ah! She pulls out this thick, dusty tome, turns it and pops it open, and as she's opening it, like, dust is falling off the top of it. She flips through pages. This is a tome on how to care for many fantastical beasts and monsters. She kind of closes it and goes, I know you're in a hurry, but it will be in here somewhere.
Okay, thank you.
I will check the book out for you. She's go get reading. A growing mind is the most important thing. And it's so sunny outside today. She kind of drifts off.
It is definitely a gorgeous day.
As you manage to leave the library into the black sky above with the about room temperature air and no ocean for miles that you can tell.
Yeah.
As you're making your way out of the library, you notice a pedestal with, after she's returned to her desk, you notice this little glass display case with some sort of a scroll in a golden case with, like, dragons on either end of the case that is locked behind glass.
Do I see a key?
Roll me, do you want to take 5 and do a quick investigation?
If I have the time, yes.
You got about 15 minutes and about okay. 5 minutes to get back. So you got a 10-minute window. You're going to be cutting her close, but...
Okay, I will take that chance.
Alrighty. Roll me investigation.
I got a natural 20. So that's just 20.
So you circle around the library a couple times, and you notice that there is a ring of keys hanging behind the librarian's desk.
And she's back sitting at her desk.
She is back sitting at her desk, leafing through some sort of tome, a bunch of like ledgers, possibly it's a list of books in the library or something. And it is below her... It is hanging on the knob of one of the drawers to her right.
And how many keys are on the ring?
3.
3. Okay.
All 3 are brass.
And the lock is also brass?
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah. My words are getting kerfuffled. And the scroll is in sight of her desk?
It is around a corner-ish towards the front of it.
Okay.
The front of the library.
Okay. Oh, man, I'm trying to decide if I should just try and pick up the keys or if I should try and get her to go somewhere else, but then she'll have to come back. I'm just going to try and pick up the keys.
Alrighty, roll me stealth and then sleight of hand.
Okay, here comes stealth. 14.
Okay, sleight of hand.
Awesome, another natural 20, so that's 24.
That nat 20 is what saves you. As you aren't the most silent moving your way in, you're able to pick up the keys and put one on one shoulder and one on another, and you're holding the third so that they can't touch each other.
Good. No clink.
Quietly move away.
roll me a d4.
Okay. One.
All right, you try the first key on the ring, and as you turn it, it doesn't seem to do anything.
Okay. I'll try the next one.
All right, the next one, as you stick it in, you give it a quick click. You hear the lock open, and then there's a further click as it moves past, and you like the key head snaps off inside the lock.
Oh no.
Causing the other two keys to jingle. Oh my, what was that, you hear?
But the case is now open?
The case is now open, and it is like a beautiful golden...
I am dropping the keys, grabbing the scroll, and heading as fast as my wings can take me to that portal door.
All right. Well, she's walking, so you manage to get out of there long before she gets to you. And you zip yourself back. As you're zipping your way across down the street, the firelight of the torches gleaming off the coins on the ground, the door gets closer and closer and closer. You see Jess is already standing there waiting for everybody. As you fly back through, or fly up to them. And that's where we're going to cut off for now.
Okay.